You know, our goals every year is to win the Super Bowl. I can't tell you how terrifically positioned I think we are. It's a tough, tough league. I couldn't be more fired up myself. And I don't think I've ever been more fired up for a season than we're about to undertake. But with a realization that, you know, we're also in the NFC. I compare it to the NBA West. There are many, many teams entering this season that I think can be in the Super Bowl. And we have to try to collaborate and grind and do all the things that were not sexy. They were just daily grind last year, and do it again and again and again. And you're going to lose players. You're going to lose star players. And can you survive all that? And can you continue to game plan better than any team in the sport? And can you basically come together as a team? Teams win. And I know what our challenge is, but the goal is to win the Super Bowl each and every year as we go forward.
Welcome back in, everybody, to another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, available as always on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. What's going on? It's Lou DiBiase here in studio. Today is Monday, August 6th, and I am not alone. Joining me again, he is a repeat guest here on the Locked On Eagles podcast, my co-host, when he decides that he would bless us with his time and his grace and presence. It's Lars Lewis. What's up, man?
Oh, of course. You know when I'm on the show when you hear the beautiful sounds of Philadelphia.
Of course. That's your like the bat symbol only for music. Like, you know when you hear that music. Like Jaws.
Yes.
You know when you hear it, that's Jaws. And then for you, that's Soul Train music. That's when we know Lars Lewis is on the show.
Soul Train!
Lars, how excited are you for football? Because we got preseason Thursday. The Eagles take on the Steelers, and the whole NFL season kicks off this week. And we had the Hall of Fame game, which, you know, the helmet rule stuff kind of got me a little bit concerned. I hope they were just over officiating it, because, and I want to get your thoughts on that before, but what we're going to talk about today is what type of season for you, the fans, is okay for the Philadelphia Eagles after winning the Super Bowl in 2017? Is just making the playoffs still going to be enough? What about a playoff win for Carson Wentz, making the Super Bowl? We're going to get into that, as well as what NFC teams are the biggest threat to the Eagles' title defense. Jeffrey Lurie talked about that in his press conference yesterday, how he basically compared the NFC to the NBA West, saying that, you know, there's a bunch of teams that are coming at us this year, and that's why in the short term, you know, he talked about long-term success, but also in the short term, that's why they souped up and brought in Mike Wallace and Haloti Ngata and brought back Darren Sproles and Michael Bennett. They're trying to, again, repeat. So that's what we're getting into today. But Lars, you watched the Bears-Ravens game. You saw a couple of those flags. What did you think? Because to me, two of the three calls that had to do with the new helmet rule seemed like pretty basic fundamental tackles from safeties, and there's, unless you let them catch it and just run by you and just hope you trip them up, there is no way to properly make a tackle unless you do it the way they did in that Hall of Fame game. And yet, if there was any little helmet contact, it seemed like the ref still called it. I just, Lars, I'm praying this is not a catch rule all over again.
It's going to be a catch rule all over again.
God damn, I really wish that wasn't what you were going to say. Because, man, we went through that for the past, how many years? Me and you, we do a show up here in Buffalo on the NFL. It's called The Blitz on 91.3 FM WBNY. And, you know, I feel like all the time, man, at the end of games, instead of talking about the quality of the game, you know, how each thing happened, you know, the standings, the implications of it, we're talking about how the refs messed up. You know, the Jesse James play with the Steelers-Patriots game. Hell, even in the Super Bowl, the Corey Clement touchdown was debated, and the Zach Ertz go-ahead touchdown. If we're going to, again, after a lot of close games, big games with high implications, we're going to be discussing how the refs had their hands in on the outcome because of this new rule, and there's just so much controversy around it. There's just so much of that already in the NFL, man, that just, I can't go through another huge controversial topic to discuss all year. It's going to drive us crazy.
You're absolutely right. I remember seeing that one tackle over the middle. It was a perfectly legal tackle.
Right.
The guy didn't lead with his head. He hit shoulder pad on his body, and just because he nicked the guy with his helmet, they threw a flag down. Look, I get it. You want to make the game safer. But at the same time, what is a defensive player supposed to do when all of these years he's been trained to hit in a certain way, and now you have to tell him to completely change everything he has learned? It's going to be a mess. It's going to be an absolute mess. We finally were able to relax some of the rules regarding catches, and now the NFL, in all its quote-unquote glory, has now created another problem.
I am for the safety of the game, but it can't be at the expense of the game, because I really hope the refs were overcompensating. I feel like they were trying to send a message, like, we're going to call these this year. I think the first one was clear. So I'm for this rule when it comes to, you know, one player, a corner, let's say, has a receiver totally wrapped up and they're close to bringing him to the ground, and another guy comes in to help out, and instead of just bringing him down with a wrap up or going for his legs, he comes in like a rocket, head down, and just tries to blow a dude up. I'm fine with trying to remove that aspect from the game, you know, that hardcore gladiator mentality. I'm fine with that part being eliminated. But again, it was the other two plays that is what I had a problem with. So I'm just praying that they really were just doing that to send a message, because the refs get to interpret this rule each game. They get to make the call, and I'm hoping that they're a little less strict with it, or else this is something, man, that it's going to lose viewers. I know we say that all the time, like, oh, this is maybe the undoing of the NFL, but this rule has serious implications.
Oh, I thought that was the anthem policy.
Yeah, well, yeah. No, that's a myth created by... We can't even get into it. But this...
That was every bit of sarcasm. I hope
right,
you had...
I understood. Trust me, knowing you, I understood that you were... what side you're on that. But this is a rule, even the catch rule, like, it was a problem, but it wasn't something that... It was a risk to the... you know, the life of the sport. Whereas this rule, if this is something that they're going to keep and that's the way that they're going to officiate it, this could ruin the sport. This could be its downfall. It could be the thing that finally people are like, man, this is just not what I signed up for anymore, and I can't get over it, because this is something that could, like, change the core values and the core way, the play style of the sport, man. And it's... I'm concerned. I'm going to keep watching it throughout the preseason. Hopefully it gets a little bit more laissez-faire, because if it doesn't, I'm pretty nervous, because that Malcolm Jenkins hit against Brandon Cooks in the Super Bowl, that is something that probably will get flagged 10 times out of 10 now, and it's like, what do you do? You might as well remove the safety position.
Yeah, I definitely do not want that to happen, that's for sure, because otherwise... Brian Dawkins would not be having that jacket on.
That's what I'm saying. Brian Dawkins, man, we just put him in the Hall of Fame on Saturday. He is someone that, with this new rule, I don't think any of his hits would have been legal, right? I mean, not just him, but Ray Lewis also in that Hall of Fame class. I don't know how those guys end up surviving in this league with the mentality that they came into the sport.
Yeah, it was essentially kill or be killed. That's
exactly
kind of how it was in the 90s and in the early 2000s.
It's going to be
Why
tough.
Do you think the hit stick was invented for Madden 05 for that very reason?
That's right. Are they going to take that out of the game now?
I can't even remember if it was even in the game anymore. I'll be honest with you.
Took it out.
I have not bought a Madden game new since Brett Favre was on the cover back in 2009.
Wow, that's been a while. I haven't bought one since 2016, so I'm a little bit ahead of you. You haven't bought one in almost a decade. That's good for you, actually, because...
It's the same damn game every year. As a matter of fact, it's gotten even worse.
Right.
I'll tell you this. I still think, in my mind, Madden 05 is the best Madden game ever made.
Okay, I that's fair. I like the older games.
That's a separate pod. Let's do that. I want to do a Madden pod next time.
Hey, how about on Locked On Eagles, we'll do a special NFL video games pod, or just sports video games in general. That could be a fun
ooh.
One.
Ooh, ooh,
all right,
ooh, all right.
All right. We'll put this on the back burner. We'll get back to this.
And Dave Demeshek's Stave.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll put that on the side, and we'll get back to that. Let's get into what we're going to talk about today in our first segment. What type of season is okay for you, the fans, for the Philadelphia Eagles? Obviously, they just won the Super Bowl, so it's going to raise expectations for this team. Only really in year two of the Howie Roseman, Doug Peterson era of the Eagles, a team that I thought was going to go 9-7 personally, so it shows how much I knew. But in year two, they vastly overachieved based on the expectations of fans and the media, and probably even the team itself. I feel like even Howie Roseman, the way he was building this team, he wanted to be competitive, now surrounding Wentz with talent, but I don't think anyone really expected this team to be the number one seed in the NFC, take down the Minnesota Vikings' amazing defense, beat the Falcons that probably should have won the Super Bowl 2 years ago, and the Patriots, the greatest dynasty of this century. So they are the reigning champions, so that's going to raise expectations. But I'm interested, Lars, for you and for the fans, what is an okay type of season for the Eagles? The poll, the fans have spoken. 44% say Super Bowl or bust. 31% said at least the NFC title, which is kind of where I'm at. I'm kind of teetering back and forth with this. 0% said divisional round bye and out, and 25% said get Wentz a playoff win. Lars, I know you voted on the poll. Where do you fall on this topic?
I actually voted for the NFC championship.
Right, and I think that's probably the most fair.
Because has there been a repeat Super Bowl winner since the Patriots in 2002
Four,
and 2003, 2004?
No, that has been the last one, yeah.
There's been no repeat champion. It's so hard to be able to do it. I will say this. If the Philadelphia Eagles were in the AFC and the only team they had to contend with was the New England Patriots, I would say with full-fledged confidence that the Super Bowl is definitely within reach and they can win it all. But they play in a conference, which we'll actually segue into in a minute or two.
There you go. Shameless
plug. Contend with some serious beasts in the NFC that are basically almost on par with this club.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think I'm probably on the side that they got to at least get to the NFC Championship game. But for me, because like you said, the NFC has probably, I don't know, maybe 8 or 9 teams that you could justify, maybe even more, maybe 10 or 11, more than half the conference. Outside of who? Like, who are we officially just ruling out as a serious threat in the NFC? The Chicago Bears.
Yeah, the Bears.
And then every team in the NFC East outside of the Eagles. But not even, I'm joking, but even the Cowboys and Giants, if you said they made the playoffs, I wouldn't be shocked. The only teams really that I would be shocked if they made it were the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Chicago Bears. That's really it. So two of them.
I would say also the Arizona Cardinals and...
Okay, yeah. With Sam Bradford, of course.
I'd say the Seahawks, too. Because Seattle, I think, is in such a mess. They still haven't addressed the offensive line position.
Right.
They ended up drafting a running back with their first pick, which totally baffled everybody noticing they have so many holes they got to fill. They had
every offensive lineman. Didn't
Cam Chancellor retire?
Cam Chancellor retired. They lost Richard Sherman. Earl Thomas wants a new contract or wants to be traded.
He's holding out, right?
Yeah, the Seattle traded Michael Bennett. So, okay, maybe you're kind of convincing me on Seattle. And with the Cardinals...
I think they're rebuilding.
Yeah, the Cardinals...
In some weird way they're doing it.
The difference with Seattle... See, with Seattle, you're probably right. I mean, Russell Wilson, you can't rule out them because they do have a quarterback. But the Cardinals, if Sam Bradford's playing quarterback, they're not making it. But with Josh Rosen, who knows? If Rosen ends up being the best rookie that ends up, being what a lot of people expect him to be on the field. I know the off-the-field stuff that people didn't like about him, which was just was garbage. It was draft Twitter hype. Yeah, narratives sensationalizing. Yeah, so with the Cardinals, Rosen, Fitzgerald, David Johnson, you still got Patrick Peterson and Chandler Jones on the defense. The only guys really I would just officially rule out is Tampa Bay and Chicago, but you're right, man. Like, Seattle's pretty close now after you said it. This is not the same team that they used to be, but for me, I say at least Wentz has got to get a playoff win, because I understand they won the Super Bowl last year, but this year's team is very different than last year's team. There's a lot of guys this year that are coming in that had significant roles on the team in the past that did not end up playing in the big game. Not only Carson Wentz, but Darren Sproles, Jason Peters at left tackle, Jordan Hicks. This is a team that's getting a lot of those guys back. They do have some different players now with Mike Wallace, Michael Bennett. It's a different team, so it's not the same chemistry. Although, to me, I think they're more talented. So I think them not winning the Super Bowl or them not at least getting to the NFC Championship game would be underachieving. I'm still going to be okay with, say, Carson Wentz gets them to the title game, wins the divisional championship round, or maybe because the NFC's so stacked, the Eagles get, let's say, the 3 seed, and they get a wild card win with Wentz under center, I'm actually okay with that because I think getting that first playoff win under his belt is going to be huge for his development because, you know, granted, he was an MVP candidate last year, and he was a huge reason they won it all. He got them the bye week, beat the Rams to really clinch it in the NFC, home field advantage, but he didn't. The playoffs are a different beast, Lars. You know that. And, you know, Dak Prescott even saw it in his first year when he got the Cowboys to a bye week. He got them to a bye week, but then when he played well in the second half, but he never got that playoff win. Tony Romo has struggled with that. Matt Stafford. There's a lot of quarterbacks that are really, really good that never found that playoff success. So we haven't seen Wentz do it yet, and I'm not saying I believe 100% that he's going to win another ring with this Eagles team, but we have to – I really want to get that one win under his belt first just to get that pressure off his shoulders because that pressure is going to be there since he wasn't on the field for the title. So I would honestly rather have them get a wild card win than have them get a first-round bye and end up losing in that game. We need that at least that first win for Wentz.
You know, I feel like you're right. The way I see the NFC shaking out, the 3 seed might actually be the number one destination for Philadelphia. It's tough to repeat and get another bye week to
first place
to
schedule
have the top 2 seeds, especially when you're playing in a conference like this. And it's like you said, you have 8 or 9 teams in this conference that could possibly beat Philadelphia in a playoff game. Mm-hmm. And you're right. I believe the best expectation for fans is going to be Carson Wentz winning a playoff game. And I think that's the most realistic out of all of them. Getting a bye and losing, it could possibly happen, but that would definitely not sit well with a lot of Eagles fans.
No.
If you don't win one game in the playoffs. Super Bowl, I'd say the Eagles have a 25% chance to make the Super Bowl.
It's one
out of four.
Right. Because there hasn't been a repeat champion in 14 years, it's very hard to just predict that. But I will say, with all that being said, outside of the Patriots, I'm still taking the Eagles. If I had to pick a champion next year, the Eagles, to me, should still have the second highest odds. They are the champs, so having the top odds, to me, is fair. But I still think the Patriots will probably end up being the favorite still in the NFL next year. But to me, the Eagles should still be second. Like, they haven't lost really anything in the offseason or changed drastically to say regression is coming. You know, I think they might be even better than last year's team, which is hard to say considering they won the title. But so although we're saying all this and it's fair and it's what, you know, again, I'll take a Wentz playoff win, they still, though, should be expected to compete for a championship and get to the Super Bowl, because outside of, I don't know if anybody, I think they're probably the deepest and most talented roster in the NFL. So I don't know.
I think there's another team out near Hollywood that could say different.
You think they're? I think they're the Eagles are more talented than the Rams. The Eagles were voted as the number one roster. The Rams were up there, but let's do this. Let's go down the line before we get into other NFC teams. Quarterback, who has the edge?
Philadelphia.
Okay, I'm just going to do this for you, because I think the Eagles do. And it's not my bias showing, because if we did this with the Vikings, it would be a toss-up, honestly. But I'm not a critic of the Rams, just not all in on them as everyone else is. Running back.
Oh, your bias is showing, Lou. Put your zipper up.
Running back.
L.A.
They have
it's
a
Todd
better,
Gurley, man.
I
have to take Gurley over Ajayi and Clement and
Scrolls.
Gurley's okay. So dominant.
Offensive line.
Mm.
The Eagles are voted the best offensive
LA
line.
LA vastly improved with their line last year.
Dude,
remember
the Eagles
that
are the
stat
best offensive
you threw me last season? With Jared Goff given a clean pocket, his quarterback rating was what, over 100?
Did you know what Nick Foles was with a clean pocket? Over 120. I'm just saying, their offensive line, the Rams didn't improve. No, I can't let you do that. The Eagles were voted the best offensive line in football by the NFL, by Pro Football Focus. This is a clear consensus. I can't let you off the hook for this one.
Todd Gurley had an historic season, and it definitely played a big part with a vastly improved offensive line. It's a very young line, too.
The Eagles were top five in rushing with not really an assertive workhorse. Let's just, all right, let's 50, go. Let's,
okay, 55-45. All right. It's closer than people think it is.
Wide receiver, Alshon. Let's go skill positions. Alshon Jeffrey, Nelson Aguilar, Mike Wallace, Zach Ertz, and Dallas Goedert, or Brandon Cooks, Robert Woods, and Cooper Kupp. I think the Eagles have the edge, slightly, because of the tight ends they have, the dynamic pass catchers.
That's true. That's one thing that L.A. does not possess, is a truly a great pass-catching tight end. But their style of offense, though, doesn't exactly cater towards a tight end.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lot of quick-strike passes, kind of like Philadelphia, and they basically use Cooper Kupp to be their safety valve compared to a tight end.
I think the point here, the Rams have a lot, probably just as good talent with their starting positions.
I say their defense is probably going to be up there on par with Philadelphia.
Yeah, I would probably see that. I think it's the depth is where Philly has the edge because, yeah, you have Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh, but they have no proven edge rushers, which is a problem. The Eagles, on the other hand, have Fletcher Cox, who's the second best defensive tackle behind Donald. You have
Michael
Nada,
Bennett now backing him up.
You got Nada, Timmy Jernigan, Derek Barnett, Chris Long, Josh Sweat, their fourth round pick. A lot of people thought would be a first round pick if they weren't scared about his knees. They are probably eight man deep at defensive line. So I think depth.
I'm also kind of intrigued as we're actually going to go to the preseason game against Cleveland. I want to see what Elijah Qualls can do as he spells for Fletcher Cox.
I agree. I think him and Destiny Vio, they really got to watch out. They need one of those young defensive tackles to come through because we know Haloti-Ngata is up there in age and Jernigan's going to be out for at least a month. They're going to need one of those young guys because I don't know how much they're going to really use him, honestly. I think in base packages, they're really going to use him against the run, but he has injury history that has plagued him throughout his career as well. So it's interesting. Let's get to the NFC. Well, let's get into the talk, because we were talking about the Rams. They're going to be a threat to the Eagles. But before we get into that, I want to talk to you guys today about our sponsor, Vivid Seats. This season, don't sit around watching the Philadelphia Eagles from home when you can be at the link, in the crowd, cheering in person, thanks to Vivid Seats as the Eagles try to defend their 2017 Super Bowl title. Vivid Seats is offering Locked On Eagles listeners 10% off your first ticket order when you use our exclusive promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON, one word, no spaces, LOCKEDON. New customers only, and the offer is good through the end of August. We got 1 month to go. Get your tickets now. Regular season tickets and preseason tickets are available. So, before the end of August, if you want to go to the home opener against the Falcons, maybe you want to go troll the Vikings fans with the skull chants, only it's Foles, get your tickets now, 10% off with the code LOCKEDON. Go to VividSeats.com or download the app and enter promo code LOCKEDON for 10% off your first order. The offseason is over, the NFL is back, and Vivid Seats wants to help you get to the game, and we thank them for sponsoring the Lockdown Eagles podcast today. All right, Lars, let's get into our final segment of the show, and we are talking about what NFC teams are the biggest threat to the Eagles. So obviously the Patriots are always going to be a threat to everybody as long as Bill Belichick and Tom Brady are there. The Death Star themselves. But how about in the NFC where it's just pure chaos? I love what Jeffrey Lurie said in yesterday's press conference, comparing it to the NBA West. Because in the NBA, of course, now LeBron going over to the Lakers, you have the Rockets, the Warriors, the Thunder with Westbrook and Paul George. Now you got LeBron and the Lakers. Hell, even Minnesota's got Jimmy Butler, Karl-Anthony Towns, and Wiggins. It's just an absolute frenzy. It's just a war for playoff spots, and it's going to be the same thing here in the NFC. We even talked about it. We rattled off three teams that we can, maybe two names that we can assertively say are not making the playoffs next year. So, but who, let's go to the top though, the title contenders. Who to you is the biggest threat to the Eagles to get back to the Lombardi Trophy?
I believe this is a pretty simple answer, because I think a lot of people have said this last year with what they saw before the NFC Championship, and I think it's going to be the same NFC Championship this year. I would say it has to be Minnesota. But the fact they've locked up their players to long-term contracts, everybody is secure. They got Kirk Cousins there, who I say is better than Case Keenum. I think Kirk Cousins has proved himself the last 3 years that if you put some talent around him, the guy can sling it all over the place. And that is certainly what Minnesota possesses. You got Stephon Diggs. You've got a healthy Dalvin Cook that's going to come back at some point this year. You have a rock solid offensive line. You have Adam Thielen, who is probably the most underrated receiver in the entire league. The guy just has glue hands. Anything thrown to him, he catches. And then you look at defensively. You got Everson Griffin. You got Xavier Rhodes. You got Harrison Smith. Eric Kendricks.
Mm-hmm. Anthony
Barr as well. This team is so loaded with talent. And of course, they got Mike Zimmer, who's probably one of the best coaches in the NFL. It's just made to be a rematch again this year. And that's no disrespect towards the New Orleans Saints. They have a terrific group. They have a Hall of Fame quarterback. And they have a revamped defense. However, just talent-wise and depth-wise, I don't think they can hold up to the likes of Minnesota and Philadelphia. L.A. is probably is closer than New Orleans. Because of all the talent they have on defense, if somehow Aaron Donald signs a contract, if Aaron Donald signs with LA and they have that starting defense with Wade Phillips at the controls, that's a frightening, frightening defense to go up against. And they have a terrific mind in Sean McVay to be able to orchestrate an offense with Jared Goff, with Todd Gurley, with Robert Hundred Acre Woods, and everybody else. And, of course, they got Brandon Cooks there, too.
Yeah, which is an upgrade over Sammy Watkins last year.
That's true. And now you got Cooper Kupp, who basically is obviously a poor man's Adam Thielen, but he'll get there. He's a solid receiver.
He had 900 yards last year, so, yeah, he's getting there already.
Yeah, for a rookie, that's pretty good numbers. But I think out of all of them, Minnesota is going to be the biggest threat to Philadelphia to make the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm with you, actually, and I used to be a huge supporter of the Vikings when they had Teddy Bridgewater, and they were still kind of a team some people would say is on the rise. It was a team I would talk up a lot. Yeah, you could feel them based on who they were drafting. Essentially, everyone I liked heading into each draft class, the Vikings were taking. Like, I was a huge fan of Xavier Rhodes. I really liked Anthony Barr. Eric Kendricks, the brother of former Eagles linebacker Michael Kendricks, who was a better linebacker and one of the probably most underrated. We talked about, you know, Adam Thielen being underrated on offense. Eric Kendricks is one of the most underrated coverage and just all-around great linebackers in football right now. So, but the thing is, and Kirk Cousins is an upgrade over Case Keenum, but I need to see Kirk Cousins do it on the big stage. His fourth quarter numbers, his numbers at the end of the season, when it really comes down to crunch time, and in the playoffs, he has not done it yet. And again, like we talked about earlier with Carson Wentz getting his playoff win, we mentioned Matt Stafford, Tony Romo, quarterbacks that were really, really dominant in the regular season, posted huge numbers in the regular season, and then it gets to the playoffs, and it's a different beast, and sometimes guys just can't put it together like they did in the regular season in the postseason. So I still got to see that with Kirk Cousins. The good thing is he might not have to carry a team like he did with Washington, with Minnesota, because like you said, Dalvin Cook's going to be ready for week one. He's got three really good weapons in Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen, and Kyle Rudolph. And long-term, they're a team that I think is going to be the biggest threat to the Eagles, because the Eagles and Vikings are set up to be contenders in the NFC for the next 5 to 7 years, whereas the Rams, you know, I know they locked up Gurley and they locked up Cooks, and they're going to get Aaron Donald done eventually. Marcus Peters is essentially a rental deal unless they can find a way to sign him too. They brought in Aqib Talib, Ndamukong Suh. A lot of those guys don't seem like, I don't know if they're going to be in the long-term plans yet, so if you lose those players, that's a lot of the core that they're betting on right now. I mean, they invested a lot of draft picks in those players, but I'm still skeptical because Jared Goff, within the confines of Sean McVay's system, is a really good quarterback, but outside of it, what happens when the play calling doesn't work and athletic linebackers like the Falcons give that Rams offense trouble like they did in the wild card round, and you need your quarterback to make something happen for you just based on improv and just, you got to make plays. I don't know if Jared Goff has that in him. We'll see. The Rams, to me, truthfully, I'm more scared of the Saints, actually, Lars. I know you've been a big supporter of the Saints for a while. With Drew Brees still there, the emergence of Alvin Kamara, I think bringing in Cameron Meredith to go across from Michael Thomas is a really nice add. And then that
Michael
young...
Thomas, is Michael yeah. Thomas a top five wide receiver in the
I think
the,
he's going
NFL?
To be this year. I think he's going to be. In the whole NFL?
I would say just strictly the NFC.
In the NFC, yeah. I don't want to say the whole NFL yet.
I say he's top 10 in the NFL.
Yeah, and I think in the NFC, I think Julio is better than he is. I would put, is that maybe Doug Baldwin? No, I don't. He might be what, second at this point?
He might very well be. And I look,
are you missing
I'm still
anybody? I don't think so. Mike Evans.
I am still putting Larry Fitzgerald in the top three until he goes less than 100 plus catches in a season and averages over 1,000 yards. He is still in the top three in the NFC when it comes to wide receivers. The guy could still go.
I think, truthfully, I think the Saints, that secondary too is young and it's extremely talented with Lattimore and Williams. I like the Saints. I think they're outside of the Vikings are the team I'm really like that. I did not want to play them in the NFC Championship game last year. I was really happy when Case Keenum got it done to Diggs because I did not want that Saints team coming back to the link like they did in 2013 to rip my heart out of my throat.
Got to tell you what, that would have been a real dog fight if the Saints were up there.
It absolutely would have been. I agree with you because there's no way Drew Brees lets that blowout happen. I think maybe the Eagles probably I still would have picked the Eagles to win, but you're damn right it would have been a way closer game than it was with the Vikings. To me, the second tier of teams I'm really concerned with, where it's the Vikings and Saints, like that's the two that I'm like. If we play them, we're going to be in for a dogfight. But the Rams, the Eagles beat them last year, and I think they have the upper hand with talent and also coaching. Sean McVay won Coach of the Year last year. I think Doug Peterson should have won it. I thought he was a better play caller than McVay. He's bold. He beat Sean McVay, and he ended up beating the team in the Atlanta Falcons that beat Sean McVay. So I didn't understand that, but the end of year awards.
I got the perfect reason why Sean McVay won Coach of the Year. You want to know
why?
End
of year awards are hype trains, and that's it. They love the story.
No. This is a different reason.
Okay, all right. Let me hear it. I think I know
you
where
win
you're going
the NFC West following Jeff Fisher's tenure.
Yeah.
First year. You do that.
That's okay. That's fair. I thought you were going to go come up with the NFL's trying to hype up LA, trying to make that market work. So give them as many awards and as much publicity as possible. Because that's another reason I think he might have got it, too. Disagree?
No, I'm not going to disagree, but I feel like my point's also valid.
No, your point is also valid. Jeff Fisher is the biggest tire fire that found a way to stick around for... Him and Marvin Lewis should win the Leach Award. That they just found a way to stick and never go away.
Agent?
They might. If so, we need to know what that... The magic, the dark magic that man is performing for those guys.
I need to sign on with that guy.
Absolutely. I want to be a head coach in the NFL. But I think the Rams are in that second tier of the Falcons, the Panthers, the Packers. You know, if the Packers had a stronger roster with Rodgers, I think they'd be up there. But I think those four teams are also got teams that if you play them in the playoffs, you're going to be like, man, that is it's just not easy. And that right there, we list it off, including the Eagles. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's six teams right there. So basically, no team you're playing in the NFC is going to be a cakewalk. Whereas in the AFC, you might get a team like the last year's Buffalo Bills creeping into the playoffs, or the last year's Tennessee Titans. Teams that, to me, weren't actually playoff teams that got in because of a weak conference. That's just not going to be the case for the Eagles this year, and it's going to get even harder because these teams got better, right? I think the Rams got better. I think the Vikings got better.
Yeah, guess who's nobody's talking about? Aaron Rodgers is still in the NFC,
that's
people.
Right. That's a problem. When he's there, he could beat anybody, you know? So I had to put them in there, too, just because of the sheriff. That's right. I called him the sheriff.
Oh, there's a, Oh, there's a new one in town.
There's a new sheriff. His name's Aaron Rodgers.
So that's where Peyton Manning's badge came from.
So I think I'm surprised we both agree with the Vikings. I know you're a big Saints supporter, so I actually thought you were going to go with the Saints.
I would just say the Vikings, because I feel like there's an upgrade at the quarterback position. Mm-hmm. Kirk Cousins, I know you were talking about the playoffs. Can we see it in the playoffs? The one playoff game he had against Green Bay, he threw for 330 yards and a touchdown with no picks. He played a great game. It's just Washington couldn't stop anything. That I remember watching that playoff game. Aaron Rodgers tore them to shreds.
But then again, though, that's when you want your quarterback to just not let up. Like,
he did everything he could.
He only threw one touchdown.
I mean, to be fair, Jordan Reed dropped about three balls that game on top of, like...
Was that one of the more forgettable playoff games?
What's that?
Was that one of the more forgettable playoff games? I remember none of that game.
I don't know why, for some reason I do, but I remember a lot of random stuff.
Yes, you do, Lars. Yes, you do. Hey, man, thanks.
You didn't agree with me.
Thanks for coming on the show today, dude. I always appreciate when you come on. Let's get you on again. So that video game thing, we have to make that work, all right? We have to make that happen.
Thing.
All right, cool. I think the fans would love that, too, because you're actually working on a little project, right?
Oh, yes. I got to keep that secret.
Okay. All right. Let's just say Tecmo Bowl college style. All right. Is that a fair hint?
I think that's more than fair.
Okay. All right. For Lars Lewis, I'm Lou DiBiase signing off. This has been the Locked On Eagles podcast, available as always on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. Thank you for joining me today. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at DiBiase LOE. Lars, what's your Twitter handle? At Lars Lewis 12.
Oh yes, indeedy.
Why is it 12?
Good question.
You have no idea, do you?
No, I honestly don't.
That'll put a wrap on it. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. Please rate us, give a review. Always appreciate the feedback. Check us out on LockedOnEagles.com, Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, wherever you find podcasts. We are up and on. And, of course, on the motherboard, we post written content as well on LockedOnEagles.com. For Lars Lewis, I'm Lou DiBiase. This has been Locked On Eagles. Thank you for listening. We'll see you tomorrow, and let's go Birds.